is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, March 27th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll preview the mayoral race in Urbana by looking at the issue of economic development. We'll have a story from AM 580's Jim Meadows. We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana this weekend, but first a look at today's news. The Republican and Green candidates for Urbana mayor hope a judge will force the city of Urbana to hold a ballot lottery to determine the order in which candidates are listed in next month's city elections. Ballots for Urbana city elections were printed without such a lottery, which is required by state law. Mayor Laurel Prussing has said failure to hold a lottery was an honest mistake on the part of city clerk Phyllis Clark due to faulty legal advice. Both Clark and Prussing are Democrats, and Democratic candidates show up first on the April 7th ballot in Urbana. Republican candidate Rex Bradfield says Urbana officials need to hold the ballot lottery now and reprint the ballots if necessary.
The original finding out of this implicated that it was a simple mistake. There was also a very simple solution, and that solution should have been, oh my goodness, let's have the lottery and let's get the things reprinted, because we started to understand that there may have been a mistake last week. But we have been just subjected to delay tactics and bobbing and weaving.
Bradfield and Green Party mayoral candidate Daryl Cruz say studies show that the candidate listed at the top of the ballot enjoys a distinct advantage. They say that's why state law requires ballot lotteries. Bradfield and Cruz filed their complaint in Champaign County Circuit Court yesterday. Urbana city officials have not yet returned phone calls seeking comment. Key lawmakers say Governor Pat Quinn's young nominee to run the state police lacks the necessary experience to solve the agency's many problems, such as yesterday's revelation of a huge backlog in testing crime evidence. Quinn wants 29-year-old Jonathan Munkin to run the state police, even though he has no background in law enforcement. Democratic State Senator Antonio Munoz, who leads the committee that will review Munkin's nomination, says he has serious doubts about Munkin's qualifications. Munoz is a Chicago police officer. Another member of the Senate Executive Appointments Committee, Carroll Stream Republican John Milner, also has police experience and opposes Munkin. Meanwhile, a new report reveals that the backlog of untested evidence at state police crime labs has skyrocketed in recent years. Illinois' Auditor General also found that state police provided misleading or inaccurate information about the backlog. That report found untested cases tripled from 2002 to 2007. It also says that as a result, police and prosecutors have been hindered in pursuing convictions. But new state police director Jonathan Munkin says solutions are underway.
I am pleased to say that we have begun making adjustments, and we actually began making adjustments as issues arose during the course of the audit. And they have already begun to improve our system.
Munkin says the backlog has been cut by a third since last year, but officials also disputed some of the findings in the report. The audit shows that the crime lab in Rockford used an unconventional and illegal testing method for part of 2007. It also says top brass knew about the procedure but didn't tell the lab to stop using it. Officials claim that finding is inaccurate. They say they decided the method used in Rockford was improper and ordered the lab to stop using it. The Illinois legislature is weighing in on mandatory overtime for some state government employees. Sean Crawford has that story.
State workers at prisons, veterans' homes, and other facilities have seen their ranks reduced in recent years. Those left on the job have had to make up for the lack of manpower by putting in more overtime, usually without a choice. The Illinois Senate has passed a measure that would prohibit requiring an employee in those agencies and some others from working more than 40 hours a week. Voluntary overtime could still be offered. Champaign Democrat Mike Frerich says the current setup has been especially hard on families.
For people who they're single parents or they're dual income families in a lot of these towns, both working for the state, when both parents are forced to do overtime or single parents forced to overtime, they're unable to get their kids.
Other issues raised include employee burnout and potential safety concerns with tired workers on the job. Several lawmakers have concerns over the possible cost of additional hiring that might be necessary to staff agencies, but at least one estimate says the money spent on overtime could be used to add hundreds more workers. The plan now moves to the Illinois House. I'm Sean Crawford.
Large trucks could soon have legal authority to travel faster on Illinois roads. Illinois' House and Senate have each approved separate measures to raise the speed limit for trucks to 65, the same as cars. The trucking industry has long sought the change. It would only apply to rural interstate highways. Republican Senator Gary Dahl at Granville owns a trucking firm. He says there are advantages to the change.
This is an economical thing for the industry as well as safety. We're all safer if everybody is moving at the same speed.
All the neighboring states have higher truck speed limits than Illinois, but opponents say larger vehicles traveling faster will lead to more highway deaths. They cite figures showing when Missouri passed similar legislation, the number of fatalities went up. The Douglas County town of Arcola may be about to lose its most famous children, Raggedy Ann and Andy. Johnny Gruelle, who created the famous dolls, was born in Arcola in 1880. His granddaughter, Joni Wanamaker, has operated a museum of Raggedy Ann and Andy memorabilia there for 10 years. The city is also known for its annual festival dedicated to the two dolls and the stories written about them. But Arcola's heritage is about to suffer a potentially crippling blow as the museum will be shuttered by the end of the year, and the original Raggedy Ann and Andy Festival has been canceled for this summer. While a portion of the museum building may continue to house a small exhibit, most of the items are being transferred to the Strong National Museum of Play in New York City. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Economic development was a key plank in Laurel Prussing's platform when she first ran for mayor of Urbana. Prussing narrowly defeated Todd Satterthwaite with the argument that the incumbent hadn't done enough to attract business to the city. Now Prussing faces three challengers who each say they could do a better job in spite of a recession. AM 580's Jim Meadows has this report.
Laurel Prussing says one of the major issues in the 2005 Urbana election was how to bring in more retailers.
I think going door to door, I found and the council members found that people's most frequent request was to get more shopping in Urbana. And I think we have really gotten that accomplished. In 4 years, there are literally dozens more stores and restaurants in Urbana.
As she seeks a second term as mayor in 2009, Prussing says she and the city council have worked together to attract and retain business, especially to downtown Urbana and Philo Road. But both Republican challenger Rex Bradfield and Green Party candidate Darrell Cruz say many of the business openings trumpeted by Prussing actually got their start when Todd Satterthwaite was mayor. And Bradfield says Prussing's focus on retail development doesn't cover what Urbana needs most.
Urbana must have jobs that are high-paying jobs, that hire people from the University of Illinois, bring people in and live here, and we increase our tax base without increasing our taxes.
Bradfield told a candidates forum hosted by the Urbana Business Association that he wouldn't rely on tax incentives or new infrastructure to attract business. Instead, Bradfield wants to review the city code and eliminate what he sees as outdated or unnecessary provisions that cost businesses money. For example, he says a city ordinance dictating a minimum size for business parking lots makes them bigger than they have to be. He says allowing smaller parking lots would make it cheaper to build in Urbana.
Once you make it less costly to develop, then you attract jobs, you attract big businesses to come in here and develop in Urbana rather than developing somewhere else because it doesn't cost them so much up front.
Darrell Cruz says if he's elected mayor, he'll review Urbana's economic incentive programs. And while he didn't name specifics, he promised to throw out programs that don't work and develop new ones. He says he'll work closely with business groups and encourage residents to shop locally. Cruz says economic development isn't up to the mayor, but the people that the mayor brings together.
I think the role of the mayor is to be the facilitator and collaborator of building the networks amongst the departments within the city, the business community, and the developers, the financial institutions, to be on the same page in a concerted effort to be able to bring economic development to Urbana.
Independent candidate Rob McCauley has focused on changing Urbana's nuisance ordinance. He says that's a business issue, too, because things like noise and loitering can keep customers away. McCauley told the UBA Candidates Forum that the current ordinance requires the victim to follow up on their own nuisance complaints, something he says should be done by the city.
If I were mayor, I would create a system whereby perpetrators of nuisance would be processed without requiring the victims, which could be any of you, to take time out of your lives. And this would also relieve you of the danger of retaliation for complaining.
And McCauley says there's another change he'd make if elected mayor.
I think it's important that Urbana have its non-political chief administrative officer. For one thing, it's required by city code.
It's a point all three of Prussing's challengers agree on. Mayor Prussing fired Urbana's last administrative officer, Bruce Walden, nearly 2 years ago and has operated without one since then. Bradfield says the vacancy means that Urbana city government could lack continuity as mayors come and go. Cruz says he wants the chief administrative officer to be the city's point person for economic development and do the preliminary work that he says isn't getting done now. Mayor Pressing says she almost hired a chief administrative officer last year, but that her choice for the job decided to take another position closer to home in Indiana instead.
I still intend to fill the job, but I think that the city has performed very well. The people who are criticizing and saying we should have filled it earlier, well, you can create havoc if you don't get the right person.
Prussing says Urbana has done a good job with economic development without a chief administrative officer. She says new businesses like the Meyer store on Philo Road have boosted the city's tax base, meaning Urbana doesn't have to consider the sort of budget cuts that Champaign is wrestling with right now. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
In the forecast for today, cloudy skies, the high around 48 degrees. For tonight, cloudy, the low around 35. Rain likely tomorrow, the high around 48. Winds up to 20 miles an hour with gusts around 30. Breezy tomorrow night, rain likely in the evenings, then snow possible after midnight. Light snow accumulation possible, the low around 32. And wind gusts up to 20 to 30 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy Sunday, the high around 45. And partly cloudy Sunday night and Monday. The low around 35, the high around 58 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, March 27th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.